Hi everyone, welcome to Comic Book Funny episode 6. It's been a year and nothing much has happened, but we're back. And we're joined today by, well, me, Ben Hutchings, and then there's...
David Blumenstein.
Hello. And we are joined by our listener and friend, Aaron McKenna.
Oh, missing.
In stereo.
Pew!
Stereo, we're available.
So, we were going to talk about Chugnut. We're going to tell Ben what he missed at Comics Camp, which happened in, was it March?
March, yeah, it was March, just the before, solstice, yeah. The equinox? No, the solstice.
It happens around then.
We've done it,
was that the third one?
The third one, yes.
And it was in, for the second time, it was in near...
Was it Camp Eureka? The Communist Camp, yeah.
The Commie Camp.
The Commie Camp.
And that's where you had this year's comics meeting.
Yeah.
I didn't get to go because I was at a comics wedding.
Yeah, Ross Tesoriero's comics wedding.
That's right. So let's hear about your
Chugnut
adventures. Was it good?
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was lots of fun.
We were talking about drugs. We were listing all the drugs we'd all done. And I'd totally done, like, Pez. And that was... I sat there and I was trying to think of what are the hardest substances you've ever done? And I was like, well, I had some morphine prescribed once.
Didn't you say, like, you had a pizza with maybe a magic mushroom on it or something?
I had a brownie which may have some dope in it. But
it may have had.
I never figured it out.
You were sleepy anyway.
Yeah.
So that was one thing we did there. That's nothing to do with comics.
Was fun, yeah. We had a Kimishibai performance.
Yeah, that's right.
By Bernard, which was really good. He did a wordless Kimishibai.
Oh, hang on. Before we get off the drugs, I have to tell you that once I took drugs that made me shit my pants. And I had...
But it was a drug design.
It was a weight loss drug, and I shat my pants. Oh, by the way, I had to throw away the pants. And the chair.
Oh! Really?
Yeah. Are you serious? Yeah.
And 3 meters of carpet.
Oh, shit.
No,
and
just,
your
nah,
dignity.
It just went through the chair. So just the chair, in fact. What, this is not good enough for you?
No, this
I didn't expect good. that would ever happen. I thought, yeah, I'll take it. Well, what am I, a child?
So was it like a cartoon, like a total... Like, 1 minute, like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, having a cup of tea.
You didn't notice, did you?
I was trying to do a sneaky little fart. I thought, I can get away with that. I could get away with a sneaky little one. I was just sitting there drawing, and they went, oh, hang on. Oh, hang on. Oh, God. And then the rest of the afternoon, yeah. Anyway.
But had you lost weight?
I don't think I did.
That's awful. They make you go through that. You don't even lose weight.
You lost oil.
Lost oil.
Yuck.
Out of me ass. I don't like words that I don't know what they mean. What the hell does Chugnut mean?
Don't look it up on the internet. I think it's dirty.
Yeah, it's
They decided. Some
it
people
is what
decided.
You think it sounds like. Yeah.
I think that highfalutin Pat Grant came up with that and decided, no, we're not going to call it Comics Camp because it's not cool.
Oh, bitching about Pat Grant, are we? Ooh!
Ooh, ooh, I always thought
controversy.
Ooh, I don't like him. Ooh.
I love him. I'm just saying, he's fucking...
But he's a cunt.
He's fucking highfalutin,
quite frankly,
that's all.
Doctor of comics.
Flashy cunt.
Who's the doctor of comics?
Isn't that... That's what he's trying to be. He's
is
in
it?
His PhD in comics.
Okay.
That's what he's doing.
Oh, wow.
He's going to be a doctor of comics.
No. Michael Hill is already Doctor Comics on Twitter.
But that's just his Twitter tag.
Yeah,
he's not an actor. He's not going to have a piece of paper.
No, I think he does.
Oh.
Yeah, Michael Hill.
He'd be like the Phantom. He'll die. Pat Grant will be Dr. Comics.
Put his mask on.
No one will know the difference.
Will Pat look like Michael Hill then?
Yes, he will.
Okay. Exactly. So Michael Hill is actually a skin with like a little man inside. Or maybe a little woman inside. Just dressed as him. I don't mean to offend him.
No, it's not offensive.
No.
No,
so
like
he's a woman in a skin.
Inside me.
Yeah, so Comics Camp was fun, and Kimishibai, which is becoming...
Oh, yeah, sorry, go on,
like a tradition now.
Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a staple.
He's going to have to do one every year now.
I think so, yeah.
They're entertaining, aren't they, his little performances?
Yeah.
Other than that, there weren't a lot of talks, though.
No, it wasn't,
We'd had more talks and little demonstrations the year before, and there weren't as many of those.
Yeah.
No, that's good, I'm not into that.
No, but there was a lot of sitting and drawing and...
Sam Woolman bought his Woman's Day or New Idea cover that he was working on.
Oh, yeah. A
massive one. That was great. He was working on that outside.
Yeah, and there were lots of new people, young people.
Lots of new blood.
Yes.
We did a really nice jam comic, which was... Yeah. We had the colours limited. We could only use brown or pink.
Oh, yeah, and I fucked it up by using different colours because nobody told me that it was limited.
There's always got to be one.
No.
It sounds like a good Count Chugnut. I wish I could have been there.
Yeah.
Maybe next year. Ding!
Oh, do we put a sting
there?
Is
that a musical sting?
Sting! Did you have anything else you wanted to say about that?
Chugnut?
Chugnut?
Because it is just us talking about our mates.
Yeah.
Look what I got.
What'd you get?
It's big.
Do you know Commando, the war comics? Those weekly war comics? The little tiny mini-sized ones from Britain? Commando Comics have been bringing out these collected books for a while now, where they've started to collect together, you know, comics with a theme. So,
Anzacs at War.
Yeah, that's the one I got.
The best 12 Anzac War stories ever. Take that, Cobber!
Take that, Cobber! Why would you call them Cobber if you're killing them?
Yeah.
Let me punch you, mate!
Germans do not yell out Donner und Blitzen.
They do if it's Christmas.
When they're fighting.
Are they taking a little bit of piss?
Donner
there?
Und Blitzen.
Donner und Blitzen.
Santa Claus and his wife.
Dasher und Danzer. Well, this is a massive fucking book. And
it's huge.
It's huge and really fun to read. It's quite good.
Can we give like an oral demonstration of how big this book is? Like if I
drop it on the table.
Drop it on the floor.
On the floor?
Here we go.
Whoa.
That's pretty big.
These are good books. They're good value. Like, they're only... I don't know how much this was, but...
They've got a whole bunch of them out now, and they've all got different themes. There's the Anzacs at War, but then, you know, I think they've just got, like, you know, the best Navy stories or whatever.
POW stories.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
For everyone whose comic book battle lust has ever been stirred by Nazi cries of Ausländer Schweinhund! That's good.
That's awesome.
All right, but speaking of war comics, check this out. Here's another Australian one.
And what
this
you got?
Well, this isn't one that you can really get. This is a second-hand book, and I'm pretty sure it was self-published, or maybe, you know, just was a very obscure book. And it's actually by an Australian named...
Ken Lovell?
Ken Lovell, who was a digger in, I think it was World War II. And he was a bit of a cartoonist, but he wasn't professional or anything. He just enjoyed scribbling and enjoyed doing little comics in his sketchbook.
Good.
It's called I Carried My Sketchbook.
Hmm.
And it's full of little comics... from his
there's some racist stuff.
Incredibly racist shit right here.
Let's just gloss over that.
No, that's not quite. I want to read one out that I like.
Hang okay
on. I don't think we're going to be able to gloss over it. I think
no,
where'd you find this?
I found this at a second hand bookshop in just across the road from Flinders Street Station.
It
only
cost
like $5 or something, but it was obviously Australian. I'd never heard of the guy. The pictures didn't look great, like they're really quite crude.
Hmm.
I
like that they put the really racist ones on the cover.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Now, here's one you can read out. Yanks call their food chow, but I was never too sure which part of him I was eating, and he's got a plate with a cut-up Asian man on it.
Yet again painted yellow.
Yeah.
It's a really odd book, isn't it? I'll hand it over to you guys in a second.
Is this a self-published kind of deal, maybe?
I think it might be. It doesn't...
Small publisher, anyway.
Yeah.
Like not... It was while he was away at war, I imagine. Like,
yeah, it was, yeah.
So that's kind of cool that he was able to do all this while they were out there.
Yeah. Okay, here's another one. Let's not be mean about this. This is Goblin Magazine. Right. This is one of those ones by those very young kids that we picked up at the zine fair ages ago.
Oh, yeah.
Goblin Magazine. So there's a group of young kids. They're all about 12 years old, and they've taken to making zines and comics. And it's seriously just like, it's like the little sketches you do when you're a little bit, they've bound it and put it together as like a little magazine.
Yeah.
8 pages, I think. $1.50. Obviously, these guys are influenced by computer games, because inside, it's just all these different items, such as an ogre, 1 million gold, falcon, 50,000 gold, snake, 10,000, just little pictures of weapons and characters and... people that
you can buy
and how much hit points they've got and stuff like that.
So I got one where it's like it had instructions for how to like treat your ogre, like if you bought an ogre.
Oh, right.
And like feed him at this time, feed him this food. They've gone into it.
I know.
Great amount of detail.
Yeah, incredible amount of detail. And they made a box set, didn't they? Didn't you say, Dave? They made a box set.
That was what I noticed. But it didn't have the comics in it yet, did it?
Yeah,
they made a little box for you to put in the issues that will soon come out, because we're going to be tearing through and making tons of these.
And is that colored? Is that color printed, or is that actually colored in by text?
Colored in with text.
So they would have colored every single cover in as well.
Or just the hat. Can I read you the jokes from the jokes page? Why didn't the chicken cross the road? Because it was new to this joke.
Okay.
Knock,
ooh,
knock.
That's a bit meta.
Ha, fooled you. This whole joke section was a joke.
Very meta.
This is another Aussie thing. That
it's alright. It's alright.
This is one that Michael Hawkins came out with recently.
Oh, I haven't seen this yet. He's printed it so it looks like it's a 70s comic.
It does. It really does. And that's awesome. That's what I like about it. It's nice.
How do you manage that?
It's all watercolour, looks like.
And you've done it on like newsprint or something.
Yeah, well, he said it was just a cheap digital print, but I really like whatever it is because I like the paper. The paper's some kind of...
All right.
It's really got that like heavy metal 2000 AD type.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Feel to it.
It's like two colours. It looks like his... Oh, no, there's a bit of grey in there as well.
Yeah, there's like blacky grey kind of thing, and then there's blue and orange.
So that's by Michael Hawkins. And it's called Corey, the Dweller of the Hollow. The Dweller in the Hollow.
Yep.
They talked about this on the Comic Spot, so we can't.
Oh, okay.
But I'll tell you something. He does awesome t-shirts, and everyone loves them. So if you ever see one of Corey's t-shirts, one of Michael J... It's not even Michael J. Hawkins. I always call him that. It's Michael W. Hawkins, but I call him Michael J. Hawkins because there's a letter, and I just think of Michael J. Fox. Frankly, because he looks a lot like Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, he does.
And he's always time-travelling. It's really irritating, so I just...
Right in the middle of when you're talking to him.
Crazy guy running around the corner going, Michael, you've got to come back with me!
I was like, oh, you can't use those boards on water!
Sweet.
So where can we get... Do you know where we can get one of these?
Where'd you get it?
That'd be helpful, wouldn't it?
You got this from the launch, didn't you?
Ask Sticky. Go to Sticky and ask them for it. Tell them Michael J. Hawkins. and they'll contact him and they'll get copies if they don't have them. What have you got there? That looks professional.
Oh, well, this is not really Australian, but one page in Dark Horse Presents issue number one.
I haven't seen this.
One page of this. Well, two pages, actually. Right at the back, if you go to the very back. You'll see somebody we know very well has got a two-page spread.
Michael J. Hawkins.
No, not Michael J. Hawkins. Silly. Patrick W. Alexander.
Ah, hey. Yes, that's nice. I saw that in the shop the other day.
I know.
That's great.
Mm. Isn't that nice? He's got two little pages, everyone. So if you read Dark Horse Presents comics...
And you like Patrick Alexander, which you should. Yeah. His comics are fucking great.
Yeah. He's got two pages at the back.
That's great.
Oh, is that his page as well? Yep. I didn't even realise.
I know.
Two different art styles.
He's in the same magazine as all these really, really big names.
Frank Miller.
Wow.
He did Paul the cover. Chadwick.
Neil Adams. Jeff Darrow. Harlan Ellison. Howard Chaykin.
And who's that? Is that
Hang on, you've got to read till you get to the main name, Patrick Alexander.
Patrick Alexander. Carla Speed, McNeil, Richard Corbin, and Patrick Alexander.
Under Richard Corbin.
Who's Richard Corbin?
He's really good.
Okay.
That's wicked. Well done, Patrick. Well
Good work.
Patrick. We salute ye.
Hutcher.
Yeah.
It's been about a year since we did a podcast.
Uh-huh.
What have you been up to?
That's a good question. One of the things I was up to is actually I went on Sale of the Century.
But that show doesn't even exist anymore.
Didn't bother me. I went on it anyway.
He's back with us, the carryover champ. How are you, Ben?
I'm great, thanks. I really like surfing.
Yeah? You're feeling comfortable?
Yes, I am, thanks. I've got very comfortable pants on and a very comfortable top.
Yeah? Now, your mum and your sister's with us at the moment. Where are they? In the front row? Hello, how are you?
Oh, hi, Joanne.
Proud of Ben, I'm sure.
Yes.
Now, Ben, let's talk about a couple of things.
All right.
You just turned 21.
No, I'm 34, actually.
You're studying?
No, not at all.
Medicine?
No, I'm not studying medicine or studying.
What about walking, bike riding, maybe?
Yeah. Now you've hit the mark.
Ganesha Boleslav.
And good evening to you.
Islamic Jihad is probably your most favourite thing in life.
I'm hoping to kill lots of Americans this year.
Look forward to it.
I'm growing a beard. I don't know how to do a turban yet, but I basically just put sort of little bits of cloth on my head.
Fabulous. And do you want to specialise in anything?
Yep. Killing people, mostly. And I also wouldn't mind doing some catering.
I think he wants to get on with the game.
I think he does too. He's like, yeah, get over it, Glenn.
Well, I don't think he was quite that subtle, but anyhow, I'm over it now. Hey, good luck, Ben.
Thank you.
So,
we've run out of Aussie stuff to talk about.
Me and my lady, Sarah Howell, cartoonist extraordinaire and arts worker, went on our honeymoon, and we went, as part of our honeymoon, to Mocha Fest 2011, which is a thing that's held in New York City, and it's a comics fair, and it's sweet as.
Mm.
And I don't know how to judge exactly how big it was, but it was bigger than anything that's been in Australia that I've seen, and it was all comics. So there was no little people creeping around with zines, and there were no stupid idiots with crafts, you know.
Was there cosplay?
There was no cosplay.
Oh, so no, really? Dressing up as Jimmy Corrigan or anything like that?
No.
Was it completely small press, or was it, did you say that it was a comic?
It was mostly, well, I mean, it was small press, but then the small press over there is quite big.
Yeah, okay.
So,
oh, right.
You know, there was the Fantagraphics and Top Shelf and all those kind of
what
things.
What does MoCA stand for?
Museum of Comic and Cartoon Art.
Oh, okay.
And that's a thing that's actually there that you can go visit any time of year. And it used maybe it still is run by Jim Salakrup, who was a Marvel editor.
Oh, okay.
But they have all sorts of interesting exhibits up in there. And yeah, so I've got some comics that I picked up there.
Massive stuff.
Cool.
Here is something called "Hello, I'm Malcolm Gladwell."
This is really good.
This is good. Yeah, you guys have been through this pile. So yeah,
I haven't seen this. I just had a look at this one before.
All right, so this is just a tiny little comic by Josh Shalek.
It looks like it's folded up.
It's folded. It's called foldycomics.com.
Foldycomics.com.
And so all it is it's folded up. So you unfold it, and every unfolding.
Oh, brings more. Okay, so it starts really small, and it's "Hello, I'm Malcolm Gladwell," and there's Malcolm Gladwell. Unfold it, and there's a twice as wide picture. Yeah.
And it gets bigger and bigger.
And then you unfold it again four times. As big. Wow! So it grows bigger every time!
Yeah, it's a nice little idea.
Oh my god!
And if you don't like Malcolm Gladwell, you'd probably enjoy it. He puts these words in Malcolm Gladwell's mouth. "I take a thesis, cherry-pick anecdotal examples to back it up, and disregard conflicting evidence."
He
pops up on... He'd be one of those people who pops up at TED Talks.
Yeah. Boing Boing, love him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in amongst all the steampunk...
This one is called Snake Oil Number 6, The Ground is Soft, and it's by Chuck Forsman from Providence, Rhode Island. And it's really weird and interesting. Yeah. It seems to be non-linear, so it seems to be jumping back and forth in a guy's life. And his dad is some kind of warrior, and it sort of seems like it's medieval, but it's not quite. It's neat. I really like it, actually. It's one of the best things that I've seen from there. So... hooray. ChuckMcBuck.com is where you go. This is Simple Routines number 12 by, he looks for it, J.P. Kuvert, I think is the fella's name.
He's done some cool stuff.
You know him?
Yeah.
See, this is the thing is, I've gone to this thing and I don't know who any of these people are, and you probably actually are aware of
this. I only know about this because, like, I'm pretty sure that his stuff was in Andrew Fulton's giant pile of comics at Chuck Nut. Because Andrew Fulton seems to get, like, all the cool stuff, all the cool indie stuff.
So this is just a little diary comic, but it's a very nice, cute little diary comic, and fun.
Finding the wonder in the daily minutia.
Yeah, that's it. You've summed that up. Scenic Byways. Oh, this is also by the same guy, Josh Shalek, who did the folded comic, isn't it? So then I do remember I got this off him. It's called Welcome to Falling Rock National Park, and again I got it because it looks cute. It's strange. A collection of a daily comic strip. So it's sort of weird characters and animals in a fictional national park. Yeah, that's right, he was a nice guy. And this comic book is kosher, apparently.
Nice!
I met the editor of a magazine called Royal Flush, and I think it's the best magazine I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and it's got cover articles on Rob Zombie, and then you flip it over and they've done a thing on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, the TV show. And it's got all manner of good, fun stuff in there. And it's kind of made all just entirely by cartoonists.
But like, it's
and there's a big article on how Al Jaffe makes the fold-ins.
Yeah, and he's done a fold-in for them. And I think there's I forget who he's interviewing, but Alice Cooper's done an interview for them. It's not... they interviewed Alice Cooper. Mm. Alice Cooper interviewed someone on their behalf.
Yeah.
So it's a beauty magazine, and I want to be in the next one. I don't care how. I want to do something for it.
And it says, I don't know if this is like a comedy special, but it's all comedians in this. Well, mostly comedians in the front. It's got like Danny McBride, Conan O'Brien.
And Rowdy Roddy Piper. So that's a rockin' magazine, and I've never seen it in Australia, and I don't know why. This is called Disquietville.
I like this one.
Yeah, this is a nice one.
This is neat. It's a sort of a little philosophical. It's a little bit peanutsy.
Yeah.
I think. In a
trials
sort of
and tribulations of a white 20-something type.
It is that
genre. Working in the service industry.
He was a nice guy, and I had a little chat with him, and that was a lot of fun. So
this is my favourite of all the ones.
Yeah,
that you brought.
Disquiet
back
villain. Yeah. What was his? His name is Daniel Spotswood, and you go to disquietville.com.
That's good. Really full colour. Nice.
Yeah, it is. So we, Sarah and I were at the table. We shared a full table with two guys, and we never met these guys until we showed up at the table there.
Is that the religious comic? Come Let Us Adore Him.
No, it's not. So this, this is a comic by one of the guys we shared with, Casey Bohn, B-O-H-N, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, I hope.
I think it's Bohn.
Bohn. Maybe. And I really like this one, which is The Dewey Decimal System is Decadent and Depraved, which is by the other guy we were sharing with, Bill Volk. And it's a 24-hour comic.
Nice.
And probably for the librarian in your life.
Yeah. Likes a bit of Dewey.
Well, no, he hates a bit of Dewey.
He
That's
hates
what it's
the
about.
Dewey in here.
Yeah. By the end of it, he's going to take Dewey down.
Is he an anti-Semite?
Or Melville Dewey?
I don't think so.
Because he's anti-Dewey?
I went past a table full of girls and I saw this, and it was called Coffee Spoons Comics, and it's got this nifty looking drawing of a lady on the front.
That's really cool.
And actually I felt a little bad because I said, oh, this looks really cool, and I opened it up and I looked inside and I found this strip, which is called Edmund Wellington IV, Preparatory Academy of Upper Manhattan, and it is by Stephanie Mannheim, and she also did the cover image, and I thought that was really cool, and I bought it on
the strength of that.
And
then you flicked through the rest of it.
And I flicked through the rest of it, and some of it looked all right, but that was my favorite bit.
Yeah.
And I said, "Is Stephanie at the table?" And they went, "No, she's the one who's not." So I didn't get to talk to her, but she was cool, and I like that comic that she did in there. I just read it before. Oh, this is not actually a comic, really. This is
a
little
picture book, but it's fucking gorgeous.
It's the best art that I've seen at this thing. It must
so
be.
Nice.
It's by Galen Longstreth and Maris Wicks, and one or both of them who illustrate it. Maris Wicks is the illustrator, and
yeah.
I'm guessing an animator. Feels like,
yeah,
you know, it's just
very kids book, and even the way that it reads is like a kids book, like,
yeah,
we go down and have lunch, gobble, munch, crunch,
yeah,
but it just, like, the paper stock that they've used for it's really
yeah.
nice, and the colors are really cute.
It's a nice looking thing.
These guys are awesome.
So yeah, her website is dotsforeyes.com. Oh, yeah. We didn't actually say what the book's called. It's called Yes, Let's.
Yes, Let's.
It's a little story about going... Well, they go to the woods to camp, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they go for
have
a
little swim
and swimming and eating lunch.
Lunchtime, the whole family goes.
It's just cute. It's nice. Yeah. Here is Heaven All Day by John Martz, who is a chap... I wouldn't have known who the hell he was, but Jen Breach, who was, you know, being our pal at the festival, who's, you know, moved to New York, I think, like, a few weeks before that. She said, go see John Martz, he does nice stuff, and he knows Andrew. So we did, and it is, in fact, nice stuff, although I haven't read it yet, only Sarah's read this yet.
Yeah, it's
but
good.
It's a wordless comic, and they do my brain in, but I'm going to give it a go later.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's really nice. It's two sort of concurrent stories
yeah.
that link up, and it's beautiful. It's a nice big square book. He's got a sale on all his comics at the moment, so you can pick all of them up for not very much, because the Aussie dollar is doing great guns still, so...
Mm. I need tits.
Tits
and
farts.
And that is what we find in English Conversation.
Ooh la la!
Which is a book by a man I met at Mocha called Flu. Flu Hartberg is his name. Life as a young man in Oslo. And once we got to Norway, I went to a shop in Bergen, and the guy there, they were selling comics there, I should say, and the guy there told me, oh yeah, everybody knows Flu. Everybody knows his collective. His collective is called Dongeri.
Dongeri.
D-O-N-G-E-R-Y.
Sure.
And they pretty much, I think, run that town, because all the comics that they had in there, they were by different people, but they all said Dongeri on them.
Oh, wow. So this is the local the people
crew.
We do.
This is the crew. They're like, I guess...
Oh, look, and they wrote it wrong. They wrote dongri, but they didn't put the E in. And then under that, they wrote, oops, I meant dongri.
That could be intentional, I'm not sure.
Pretty classy establishment.
I bought this one as well in Norway, and it's called...
Oh, this is cool.
If I'm pronouncing it correctly, Hva tenker du på?
Hva tenker du på?
And it is by Martin Ernstsen. I bought it because it looks cute. I can't read it. Hey. It's all in Norwegian.
Hey.
Stop horu.
Du snakker rar om ja.
I'm certainly getting the pronunciation horribly wrong. Yeah. But anyway, it's a nice looking comic. Yes, so.
Yeah, it's very cute.
Hva tenker du på?
One thing I'm noticing with all these small press comics is the production values are through the roof.
Yeah, everything was generally, the standard of production was nicer.
Yeah.
At definitely at Mocha.
Yeah, you want to read and touch everything that you've got here.
There
That's
was
great.
Really very little where you'd go, nah, not touching that. So, yeah, it was really good.
Do you want to hear some facts about dongeri? They've
yes.
written down facts about dongeri.
Mm-hmm.
When dongeri sleep, hair grows on their heads. Dongeri members are horny, sensitive, touchy, and. Dongeri believes in God every Christmas. Dongeri often get into trouble because we doesn't make sense. Milky Deutsch homesick California and so hideous talker boost. The pony is disgusting.
Yep.
Right on.
I love these dongeri dudes, though.
Mm. Yeah. They're good. On the website, there will be URLs. Because we have a website now.
Yeah, we have a comic
put up
book
a,
funny website.
A with Tumblr.
With all the previous issues. Episodes?
Episodes.
Yeah.
At comicbookfunny.com. This is a comic called Pood.
Hey, where's that from?
It's an American one. I got this at Mocha. And I bring it up because I haven't read it yet.
It's a big newspaper format.
It's, yeah, a huge newspaper size thing.
Whoa, that's cool. Look at the colour.
Look at it folding out. So, a guy came around and was very friendly and nice. And he was a representative of this publication. Oh, look at that. Look at that. That's nice.
Wow. That is massive.
I hadn't even opened it up yet. This is great.
There's a place on the net where you can actually get these... printed, you can get these giant broadsheet newspaper comics printed up if you want.
Really?
Are you serious?
Yeah, they do small runs for you.
Wow.
Like, you can get black and white ones done, all different sizes, but use the newsprint, they print it up.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What are they called?
Ah! Edit this out, and then we'll edit
all right.
it back.
Yeah.
They're called...
Newspaperclub.com.
We'll put the name
Let's
there.
Not
yeah.
tell anyone. Let's not tell anyone.
Let's
just use it ourselves.
All right, no, that's a big fat lie. I'm talking shit.
Yeah.
No such thing.
So we had a good time, and we read comics, and it was fun.
Yay!
Sounds good to me. Your friend and mine, Stuart Haynes, is developing a piece of software for the iPhone called Piglet.
Piglet.
And what it is supposed to be is a pop-up book simulator.
Hmm.
And Aaron, myself, and Jace Harper have been working on a collaborative book for it. The software isn't released yet, and it's still in production. Mm. But we've thought we'd put together a little storybook for it, a rhyming storybook that I wrote called "The Three Baddest Bandits of the Wild Wild West."
And you know, you say that the software isn't quite going yet, but it seems to work. You know, you've been, I guess, beta testing it for him.
Yeah, kind of, pushing it to its limits. On each page, you have a slider, which you slide with your finger from right to left.
Hmm.
And sliding the slider causes an image to move from one part of the screen to the other. And so the way we did the book, each page was made up of a scrolling, parallax scrolling scene.
They're pop-up books, basically, like interactive pop-up
books. Yeah,
they're nice. That's the easiest way.
You need to
That's
look at them.
That's the easiest way to say it. Interactive pop-up
interactive
books.
Pop-up books. But it's about three inept... bandits?
Yeah, three
inept
bandits. And it's written all in rhyme as well.
Yeah, Ben wrote it all, and me and Jace illustrated it up, and it looks pretty schmick.
Hmm.
But the software is currently in development, and so when that's finished, it'll be released on iTunes, and you'll be able to buy this book.
This book, yeah.
Hmm.
Which we will promote on our websites.
Yeah.
And hopefully there'll be some other piglets as well that you can buy. But
yeah, there won't be any as elaborate as this.
No.
And if anyone is interested in doing one of these, get in contact with him.
Hmm.
And he'll give you an account, no doubt. Piclet.net. Piclet.net.
Contact Stuart and get him to set you up with a Piclet account.
Oh,
American Mac. Notice that it is blurred, sense it up in that. New American kid, straight American pen. Parents isn't treated you, and it's hot as men.
So I got a bunch of these while we were overseas, and it's a little speakery thing that you put in a teddy bear. So it, when you squeeze the teddy bear, it will talk. But you can record your own.
No way!
Yes.
That's so cool.
And so I've got this thing, and I've been just recording random things on it, and the one I like best is this. Yeah.
That's great.
So you get about 9 seconds on each one of these.
That's awesome.
And I think that Hacho should start making bears and toys.
Tootleg Boy bears.
With Tootleg Boy songs in them.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
For all the family.
The Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, has tips almost as big as her own scary, fat, sticking, widening, discharging clunge. Well, Julia Gillard, welcome to the Canberra studio. Now, what's the best energy drinks and alcohol? Is it from China? And what's happened to balloons? Where are they at?
Year after year, decade after decade, it's bringing together people from all walks of life. Yes, it's new. Yes, it's different. Yesterday morning, yes to people coming into that hall wondering what was going to happen next. What's happening here? What are the teachers doing? What's the principal doing? What are the parents doing? Yes to people bouncing off each other. Yes, Prime Minister. Yes, we now recognise that people from all walks of life talking about the people from all walks of life talking about the best people from all walks of life. And we had a doctor in our session stimulating, organ that grows.
The dig?
Yes, sometimes, you know, with a bit of passion, sometimes with a bit of disgust. And it actually gave people really good fucking.
Julia Gillard, how big is this cock compared to the quality meats at Turramurra in Sydney's north? Is it really over 17 feet?
Well, what you can measure and what you should measure is which schools are falling behind about the schools that are falling behind to the school that's falling behind, those schools that are falling behind, all about the schools that were falling behind and the other school that's falling behind in those schools that are falling behind. And it's fun. What's not smart is having children with disabilities underperforming chips.
The opposition leader, Brendan Nelson, calls the whole affair a schmozzle.
Oh, look, I think Brendan's got a little bit confused. I think it's the Liberal Party.
As well as your area, productivity.
I think Brendan's got a little brain. I think out there in the community, there's no way a parent today can compare like schools with like schools and to compare like schools with like schools. Like schools with like schools. Of like schools, of like with like, with like schools.
There's been a lot of talk about do you really have the funds to make a joint?
2020 is about a vision for the nation's future. The 2020 summit is in the years to come and in the years 2020 to 2020 in 12 years' time.
Prime Minister, who's running this town?
2020, 2020.
Prime Minister, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cut.
Thank you.
Prime Minister Julia Gillard.
2020.
Hacho!
Yeah!
There's new comic shops in Melbourne.
Yeah, there is. There's one called All Star Comics, Melbourne, on level 1, 410 Lonsdale Street, Melbourne.
I've been there.
Have you?
Yeah, I went there once. It was nice.
Yeah, no, I agree. I went there once too, and they took my comics. They got a little Aussie comics section there in the corner.
Yeah.
And they're extremely friendly and helpful.
Did they take your comics that didn't have spines on them?
Yeah.
All right.
And the spiny ones?
Good.
At first, I think they were kind of, not wanting to. Like, they sort of, oh, yeah, we take on comics. I mean, we've got these really strange policies and these strange, because we don't want to take just anything. So we've got these little sort of strict rules. Not that your stuff's not good, but it's just, and they start going, oh, actually, this is pretty good. Yeah, this is good. Yeah, we'll take them,
Good.
It's like they were trying to give themselves insurance in case that was going to be shit.
Yeah.
My stuff rules. So they took it.
Yeah, cool.
Awesome. But mostly they were just really, really friendly and really helpful. And the shop's pretty good. I just had a little browse and they got... Yeah,
it's nice and clean.
Obviously
and
a new shop. But
they seem friendly.
Yeah, but very you really need to keep an eye out because they have no sort of advertising on the street or anything like that. No sandwich board or anything like that. So you really, if you're walking down the street and you are looking out for it, or even if you're walking up the street and you're looking out for it, just keep your eyes peeled because you'll miss it. Blink and you'll miss it.
And what's this Empire Comics? Is that what it's called? Evil Empire?
Evil Empire.
Evil Empire, that's awesome. That's my favourite. Yeah. Me and Aaron found that. They've actually been on the street for ages. They've been on Sydney Road in Brunswick.
It used to be called Cat's Brunswick. Cradle, years ago.
When I first arrived in Melbourne, I noticed this shop, but it was always closed. So you walk past and you'd look in the window, but it was always shut. And the stuff seemed to be, what do you call it, like pale? Like,
Sun damage.
It's been there for so long. And it was never open. I was just going, what's all this stuff in it? You know, I wish I could just like break in or find, you know, steal everything or find the guy. I didn't really want to steal. That's naughty. But I wanted to, you know, find the guy and maybe go in there. It looked like a treasure trove. Well, it finally opened and we went in the other day, Aaron and me, and it was just like, it was like the one shop in Harry Potter. Like, it's just packed with
such
stuff.
A good way of
it's like, it's wooden, you know, wooden walls and just stuff, just old stuff. Like, I mean, most of it from the 90s, I reckon.
Yeah.
Just piled up in boxes, behind boxes, on top of boxes, under boxes, on tables and shelves.
Yeah.
Just toys, comics, just cool stuff. Packed up to the ceiling and really cheap as well. I thought
and
it was
it's even
cheap.
Like the Harry Potter one shop, like the guy that runs it will talk to you and go, so what do you like? And you're like, oh, yeah, like Dave Cooper. Well, you like Dave Cooper. And he'll pull out a box and then find, like, here's a rare second issue of this thing that he did with someone else.
Only 20 cents?
I got a 3D Basil Wolverton comic, man.
That's
Basil
awesome.
Wolverton superheroes. Science fiction comic.
He did a 3D comic.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got heaps of 3D comics from the old Mad magazines. They got boxes. They got everything. It's not even in any real order.
No.
But he seems to know where everything is.
Yeah.
So you just go in there, oh, I like this guy.
Madness.
And he will scurry around pulling out boxes and, look at this. It's all dark. You know, it's like, it's the sort of place you really just want everyone to leave and just get a little stool so that you can. Just
you
sit
could
on the
spend
floor.
Spend a whole day going through that
and,
stuff.
You know, it's one of those where you get a bad back because you're just trying to get to the back of that box there. Oh, what's that? Oh my god! And it's just, so it's like that. It's like a dream. It's like this, like Christmas or something.
I gotta go down there.
And it's really weird. Like, it's a mystery too because he reckons that he doesn't get any new comics. If you say, have you got this? He's like, I don't. Like, he kind of shrugs and goes, I don't get new comics. Yet he gets recent stuff in, and he doesn't quite. Like he
doesn't
not
know how it appears.
How he gets his stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe it is like a Harry Potter comic shop.
Magically,
magic.
Yeah. And I sort of said, is this all your stuff? Is this your collection? Where do you get it from? He's just,
it's really not
come
committed.
Buy it. Just come buy it.
I was sitting in this shop and it was all empty. Yes. One day I came in and there was all this stuff in here. I went, I'm going to sell it. I don't want it.
Yeah. I would really recommend going there. And actually, seriously, I'm considering just spending a day there, like you say. Seriously, just going in there one morning. And
getting the gold.
And rifling through all those boxes. There are so many boxes.
And it's all reasonably priced. Like, especially with the memorabilia stuff, like the toys and stuff like that. He'll have Simpsons figurines from, like, when they first came out.
Mm.
And in Minotaur, like, other places like that, or the places on Chapel Street, they'll charge, like, $40 for this limited edition. But here, it's, like, $20, like, $15, because he knows that people just want it for
well,
the
it's all right, value. Because he... They just appeared there.
Yeah.
It's not his stuff. He doesn't have to charge huge importer prices. So,
that's true.
What else is there? There's a couple more. There's one that closed, right?
Alternate Worlds is moving.
Yeah.
That's a comic shop in Chapel Street in Windsor.
Uh-huh.
And they are, as of I think yesterday, they've moved or are moving to Bayswater, which is not near where we are now.
Well, they're moving mostly online, aren't they? And they're like in kind of warehouse/online.
Yeah, it
and
was
it's
my local.
Some
disgust
amongst the community.
There's a lot of people who don't want to go to Bayswater. I'm not going to go to Bayswater. It's not that I hate Alternate Worlds because I've been going there since I was a kid.
Do you guys ever go to mycomicshop.com? That is a really,
never heard of it.
It's a website, and it's really useful for picking up. And it's not useful.
It's good for picking up.
It's good for picking up. Oh, fuck. What's wrong with that?
Adult comic friend finder. Like, I like Gen 13
it's
and Vampirella.
So not good for picking up. If you want to pick up, don't go to mycomicshop.com, all right? You will not get any sex. But or otherwise.
But what will you get?
comics.
All right.
Yeah.
Is it American or?
I think it is. I think they've got a database of like all these comic shops from around America.
Okay.
And they've got thumbnails and they've got different categories of quality. So you can pick like the cheapest one. The
they do back issues.
Yeah, all back issues.
Oh. That's just back issues.
Just back issues. Wow. Okay. So you can go, okay, what genre? All right, let's just look up National Lampoon. It'll give you every National Lampoon that they can find. And you'll go, well, I don't want to spend much, so I'll just get the good condition, which are always excellent, by the way.
Yeah.
And it'll cost, you know, $1.25 American dollars. And so it's really good for filling in your collection and stuff like that, and finding really rare stuff and just obscure stuff as well.
I like how when you said it's really good for filling in your collection, you kind of went down, your back hunched, and you turned into like a comic nerd. It's like really good for filling in your collection. And then you popped up again and you became a human again. That was good.
Yeah.
So it's like Mile High Comics used to be when you know, we didn't have the internet. You'd just look at the Mile High Comics catalog. Kind of, yeah.
Send
an order form and get comics in the mail.
Yeah, I get it because I use MyComicShop.com because I'm really into like obscure comics and comics that I might have looked at once in 1990. I don't know, I have a vague memory of it or whatever. You know, really hard to find stuff. And novelty comics. And they got heaps of... what do they call promotional comics? Like, you know, ones that you get from the, you know, promoting tooth decay, you know, promoting, you know, going to the doctor or promoting nuclear energy or promoting safe sex. Or
that would be your bread and butter.
Yeah.
And nobody wants those.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So, you get Archie talking about ham radio. That's what I got.
Wow.
It was a Wendy's promotional, you know, Wendy's, the shop Wendy's. Wendy's promotional comic. And I think that was 3D. And I also got... a bunch of other stuff. Spider-Man defeats Tooth Decay.
Yeah! His hardiest villain.
Yeah.
It's the one that always comes back.
Yeah, yeah. And weird political comics and things like that.
Have any of you guys got any comics off of the dying corpse of Borders?
Oh, no, I went in last week and it was like 70% off everything. It's, and even with 70% off their graphic novels, which are expensive.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Their graphic novel section was always shit. Like, it was, you'd go in and they'd be creased and fucked up and so expensive.
You know what I got?
What did you get?
I got two copies of the Tango collection.
Nice!
Yeah!
From Borders,
from Borders at a reasonable price, because, it was like, 70-80% off.
I noticed when I saw that collection that Bernard's name is actually larger than the title of the book or in its print.
Well,
on
I think Bernard is larger and more important than he Tango.
He is tall. He is bigger than the actual dance.
Take my hand and let us chase a rainbow. Show me all your hopes and dreams. Why don't you take my hand and let us be together? Let us love forever.
It's David in the morning.
Morning reflections, yes.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
There's a thing on currently in Melbourne, which is the Emerging Writers Festival. And I was on a panel this morning.
What? Oh, were you?
Oh,
that was this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was called, I think it's called Working It Through, or Working It Up, or Working It In, or...
taking a shit.
This wasn't the emerging...
I don't remember what... It does not matter what the panel was called.
Working It In. Squeezing one out.
Snapping one off.
Having a wank.
So I was at the Emerging Porno Festival.
Rubbing one out.
Rubbing one out. And, so I was on this panel and we were talking about, basically, it was meant to be about writing and how you draft something. So that was why it was called, I believe, Working Through It.
Yeah.
I had visuals so I could show how I do the Brett Braddock comics, which I'm very pleased to say are now in book form, volume one, available now from not Alternate Worlds because they've gone and don't have an Australian section anymore because Larry won't be there anymore. Minotaur, Sticky. And Polyester Books.
Ah, excellent.
Yeah, they got it. So, so I talked about how I do one of those comics. And it was good because I'd never really thought about the process, if you know what I mean, because I just sort of dash them out, like, to do one a week. Yeah. But I realised that, because I'll stand on a tram and I do my roughs, and that's just like in pen, just really rough and scratchy and scratches out and changing words and stuff. Then I do the blue pencil and then I do the inks and then I do the shading. And that's four or five stages, and each time I actually change lines and move characters around.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I'm drafting. I've got like four or five drafts. So I felt not too bad. And
how long does one Brickbatic comic take usually?
It used to take probably like a couple of hours. Now it's probably more like 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah, because you start working harder, right? Like you start working harder at it.
I'm trying to do it nicer this time and not make all the dumb crap drawing mistakes that I always make and then leave in.
What do you?
Know where you just you draw something. Oh no, I fucked up the leg. I'll just make it black pants. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can always tell. You can always tell. Well, I never could tell in yours, but you know.
I'm doing tons of it. But I'm going to try to stop that.
Your drawings have a kind of unique look about them. Can you tell us about those freaking green pens that you use? Because they are really weird, and I've never seen. I used to see them all the time when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
But now you're the only person I ever see ever who uses those things.
And Sarah.
Oh, okay.
Lady wife Sarah
uses
them.
What are they called? They're these strange plastic.
I don't have one in front of me, but I happen to know that they're called the Ball Pentel R50.
Oh,
and they're green in color, and you can get black, blue, red, and green versions.
Yeah, and they're kind of halfway between ink and a ballpoint pen. Yeah,
it is. I think it is called a gel pen. No,
right. They are weird pens, man. And I don't know if they're not art pens.
No, they're the most basic office writing pens. But I like them.
Yeah, yeah, you make them work. You can always.
The other one I use is its older brother. The Ball Pentel 2000.
Is that also green in color?
It's also green, but it's got silver stripes on it.
Oh, wow.
From the future!
Because it's from the future!
Oh, wow!
And it's thicker and wetter.
And that's
so
all you ever use, right?
That's... No, I've actually been trying out some new things since we went on the honeymoon.
Uh-huh.
We went to an art shop, a couple of art shops while we were overseas, so I bought a bunch of new pens. So I'm going to try out some silly Japanese scratchy pens.
Nice. Scratchy pens.
Yeah.
And everyone, I'm sure, knows about the excellent jet pens, brush pens.
Yeah, that's what's... Well, Sarah uses brush pens. She uses Pentel brush pens.
Pentel brush pens. And there's a Japanese $2 shop in the city now on Burke Street.
Oh, yeah.
Called... I don't know. You guys know what it's called?
No.
That doesn't help,
does
it?
What do they have?
Well, I was going to say, they have some of these Japanese felt tip brush pens.
Ah.
The cheap disposable kinds, which are obviously $2. No, it's not a $2 shop. It's a $3 shop, I think.
Okay.
Full of, you know, it's like Golo or one of those, except that all the stuff in there is...
Is it actually
Japanese.
A $3 shop, or is it one of those shops where it says in tiny letters from
$3? Yeah. I think it is a $3 shop. I think everything there is
$3. And it's on Burke Street.
Yeah, and they have a little stationery section, and in that stationery section, you can get some of these pretty cool disposable Japanese brush pens.
Are they like the ones from Jet Pens?
Yeah, but just cheap, and they won't last as long, and not quite as good, but whatever. Like, they're really good for, like, you know, I started on them, and I've done some good comics on them, and it's $3. And you can use them a bit and then throw them away.
Cool. Nice. Handy tips.
Huh?
Handy tips.
Handy tips from our Joe.
Handy tips.
Now you whisper again.
Handy tips from our Joe.
We like handy tips.
Our Joe's got a tip. For you. Comic Book Funny was presented by Ben Hutchings, David Blumenstein, and Aaron McKenna. You can find other episodes and fact sheets on everything we talked about at comicbookfunny.com. Ben was dressed by Tony Barlow Menswear.